The code of this message is B16ANC C04. The following is message number 4 of the 2016 International Chinese Speaking Conference, given at the Ministry Conference Center in Anaheim, California, on the evening of February 13, 2016. The code is B16ANC C04. Series title, The Gospel. Message title, number 4, Paul's Gospel, The Gospel of Completion. Scripture reading, Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12, Romans 1, 1, 9, 16:25, Colossians 1:25, 1 Timothy 1:11. The code of this message is B16ANC C04.
Thank the Lord. How happy we are. This weekend we can gather together through this wonderful topic, the gospel. Everyone who comes to this meeting is blessed because we hear God's word, we hear the blessed voice. I hope that you who come here today will also come tomorrow, even will bring your gospel friend tomorrow to hear God's word. This weekend, our burden is mainly two aspects. First, to help all the saints to enter into the contents of the gospel, the essence of the gospel, to know what the gospel is, what the gospel is. And second, we hope that through such an entering in, we will receive a burden, receive a commission to preach such a gospel. And through all the meetings that had gone before, we saw the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of grace, and the structure of the gospel. Tonight, we enter into the message 4, Paul's gospel. Brothers and sisters, many people know that there are 4 gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But very few people know Paul has a gospel too. Do you know that the book of Romans is Paul's gospel? Paul at least spoke twice that my gospel, according to my gospel, according to the proclamation of Jesus Christ, which is through the revelation of the mystery that have been hidden throughout the ages. So Paul said, I will establish you according to my gospel. So brothers and sisters, we need to know that New Testament has 27 books, 14 epistles were written by Paul. We need to know that this word gospel appear 76 times, and 60 times appear in Paul's writings. If we do not know Paul's epistles, we do not know Paul's gospel, we do not know Paul's revelation, how much lacking will we be in the understanding of the gospel? Paul is the top gospel preacher. Within the 20 years of his ministry, in the 4 gospel journey that he took, he almost preached the gospel throughout the entire Mediterranean region. So tonight, we hope that, number 1, we will all enter into Paul's gospel so that what Paul saw will become our vision. What Paul received, his revelation, will also become our revelation. And number 2, we also hope to receive Paul's burden, Paul's commission, Paul's spirit, so that Paul's gospel will also be preached out by us. This is the burden of the message tonight. First of all, we want to see what is Paul's gospel. And before we even see that, we want to ask, what is the gospel? And even before we ask that, because there are many new believers, even gospel friends among us, we want to ask, what is not the gospel? What is not the gospel? If some people say, oh, do you believe in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus, everything will be fine. Everything will be okay. You will be rich. You will have you'll prosper. I'll tell you, that is not the gospel. The real gospel has nothing to do with earthly blessings, nothing to do with our prosperity. But if somebody tell you that you want to believe in the Lord, but after you believe in the Lord, you still need to keep the law. You need to be a good man and do many good works. You need to reach a certain standard of behavior. Otherwise, you cannot be saved. Let me tell you, that is not the gospel either. So what is the gospel? Gospel literally means glad tidings. Glad tidings. Great news of good news of great joy. So what is that glad tiding? We have to see it from the Bible, from Paul's writings. We need to see what the real gospel is. What is the real good news? In Paul, in Romans, Paul said that he was separated unto the gospel of God. And in verse 3 and 4, he said that this gospel is concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's in Romans 1:3. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is nothing other than a living person, the person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. How about we say it? It's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, this living person is the gospel. Gospel is this living person. It is not this living person plus something else, plus law, plus good behavior, plus good conduct. No. The gospel is this person. All the blessings, all the goodness are included in this person. Apart from this person, there's no gospel. But in this person, we have everything of the gospel. Actually, the four gospels, the first four books of the New Testament revealed to us the four aspects of this person. Matthew tells us that this person, the Son of God, is the King Savior. Mark tells us that he's the slave savior. Luke tells us that he's the man savior. And John tells us that he's the God savior. These four evangelists show us the four aspects of the Lord, that he is God, he's man, he's king, and he is also the slave. And they also tell us that when we start to have a relationship with this living person, when we are joined to him, when we believe into him, there will be a great change in us. That is the gospel. Gospel, on the one hand, is this living person. On the other hand, is this living person coming into you to have a great change in you, to have a miraculous change in you. When we believe into him, we will become the citizens of the kingdom of the heavens. We will enter into the kingdom of God. And Mark tells us that when we believe into him, we will transfer from the old creation into the new creation. And the book of Luke tells us that if we believe into him, we'll receive the forgiveness of sins. We will receive all the blessings that God has promised to men. And Gospel of John tells us that if we believe in him, we will be regenerated to become the children of God, and also to become the organism of the triune God. This is what the four Gospels reveal to us as the Gospel. It's all together related to this living person. So tonight, I hope that you will be deeply impressed that Gospel is nothing other than Jesus Christ himself. It's nothing apart from him. Gospel is our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, in Paul's writing, he told us that gospel is this Christ. He says, according to the flesh, he was the seed of David. But according to the spirit of holiness, he was designated the Son of God in power out of the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we need to ask, what is this gospel, this Christ preached by Paul? How is that different from the four gospels? Let me briefly summarize a few points for you. Number one, Christ that Paul preached is different from the Christ preached by the four Gospels. The Christ preached by the four Gospels is the Christ among the believers in the flesh. But the Christ Paul preached is after resurrection, is when Christ in resurrection living in us as the Spirit. What a great mystery. How subjective and precious this is. Only Paul shows us in his epistles that Paul is the hope of glory in us. Only Paul tells us that Christ is living in us. Only Paul tells us that Christ will be forming us. Only Paul tells us that Christ wants to make his home in our hearts. So only Paul's gospel shows us the gospel of the indwelling Christ. This is the first point. Second, among all the other writers, they have written about the triune God. For example, in Matthew, he tells us we need to go disciple all the nations and baptize them into the name of the Father and Son and Spirit. There we see the Trinity. But Paul, in his writings, he shows us that this triune God has went through a process and have been consummated as the Spirit. He not only lives in us, but he wants to dispense himself into our tripartite being. In Romans, especially Romans chapter 8, he shows us that Father is there, Son is there, Spirit is there, the Spirit of Christ is there, and the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is also there. So the whole triune God is there. And we see that this triune God wants to dispense himself into the three part of our tripartite being. First, he wants to dispense into our spirit, so that our spirit will be life. Romans 8:6 tells us that if our mind set on the Spirit, is life and peace. When we set our mind on the Spirit, we know that our mind is the leading part of our soul. But if we set our mind on the Spirit, our mind will become life. And then it says he will also give life to our mortal bodies. So in Paul's writing, the triune God is dispensing himself into the three parts of our tripartite being. First into our spirit, then into our soul, and finally into our mortal bodies, so that our spirit, soul, and body will be full of God. This is the Paul's gospel, and this is the essence of the gospel. Number three, Paul also shows us the Son of God. He says, he was designated the Son of God in power. Paul's gospel is the gospel of the Son of God. But when he talks about the sons of God, it's not only about the only begotten Son of God, but also the firstborn Son of God. We know that the Lord Jesus in eternity past was already the Son of God. But when he became flesh, he was still the Son of God. But he put on of the flesh, the humanity, which has nothing to do with God. When he was crucified on the cross, his humanity was put to death, but in resurrection, he uplift his humanity, he designate that humanity, he uplift and bring that humanity into the divine sonship, so that in resurrection, he was begotten to be the firstborn Son of God. In that one resurrection, all of us, all those who have been chosen by God, were also begotten by God. We were all begotten to be the many sons of God. So in Romans 8, verse 29 tells us that he predestinated will also be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, so that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. Therefore, Paul's gospel is not only the gospel of the only begotten Son, but also the gospel of the firstborn Son, the gospel of many sons. What a gospel! Paul's gospel is the book of Romans. What is the subject of the book of Romans? It is the gospel of God to make sinners sons of God, to constitute the body of Christ, which is expressed as the local churches. We, the sinners, who have been sentenced to death, how can we be made into the sons of God? It's through his judicial redemption and organic salvation. Through Christ's judicial redemption, we believe into him and are justified freely. We are accepted by God and reconciled to God. Since we are reconciled, Romans chapter 5 tells us that much more, we will be saved in his life. Judicial redemption is only a foundation, a procedure. It is for organic salvation. Now, organic salvation includes regeneration, renewing, sanctification, transformation, and eventually confirmation, conforming us to the image of the firstborn Son of God, so that we may become the mature sons of God. This is what Romans 8 shows us. But this is not enough. God is not satisfied with only obtaining many sons. He wants these many sons to be constituted, built up together to be one body. And this one body will be expressed in every locality, every city, as the local churches. So Romans 16 chapters can be divided into four parts. The first part talk about judicial redemption, and then 4 to 8 talk about organic salvation, and from 9 to 12 talks about the body of Christ, and from 13 to 16 talk about the local churches. These are the four parts of the book of Romans. This is Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel, let's repeat this. What is the gospel of God? It is to make sinners sons of God, to constitute the body of Christ, which is expressed as the local churches. This is Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel includes judicial redemption, it includes organic salvation, even more, it includes the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to see that only Paul's gospel is the complete gospel, the full gospel, not just to save us, not just to cause us to be redeemed, not just to cause us to be regenerated, but also to make us the many sons and constitute us, build us up together as his body. This is Paul's gospel. Through such a bird's eye view, now we can come to the outline. Message 4, Paul's gospel, the gospel of completion. Roman numeral 1. Paul in Colossians says that according to the ministry given to him, he became the minister, the steward, to complete the words of God. So his gospel is the gospel of completion. You can also say it is the complete, the full gospel. Because his gospel is full, perfect, complete, so his gospel is the high gospel. Today, in the Lord's recovery, we need to preach this completing, perfect, full, complete gospel, not a partial gospel. Romans 1. Paul received a marvelous revelation of the gospel directly from the Lord himself. We in the Lord's recovery need to have a clear view of Paul's gospel, the gospel according to Paul. Brother, sister, have you seen this? Paul in Galatians 1:11-12, he said, "For I make known to you, brothers, concerning the gospel announced by me, that it is not according to men. For neither did I receive it from men, nor was I taught it, but I receive it through a revelation by Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, we hope that through the gospel received by Paul will also be revealed in us, that we will see this revealed Christ living in us. We need to see that the Son of God, the begotten, the only begotten, has become the firstborn Son, and he's making us the many sons as the many brothers. And we need to see that the triune God is dispensing himself into the tripartite being. All these are the essence of Paul's gospel. Romans 2. The gospel that Paul received through the revelation of Christ is the center of God's revelation in the New Testament. A. Paul's gospel is a revelation of the triune God processed to become the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit. Brothers and sisters, do you treasure this? Do you feel this is precious? This is too precious. Only Paul has shown us this, that the last Adam has become the life-giving spirit. Only he showed us that the Christ in the flesh has, through resurrection, has become the life-giving spirit. Let us repeat this verse. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Let's repeat it. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Only Paul showed us this. And only Paul showed us that 2 Corinthians, that the Lord is the Spirit. And he even told us in Galatians 3 that God has preached the gospel to Abraham so that all the nations will be blessed. But no one explained what that blessing is. But Paul, in Galatians 3, he explained. He said that these blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. What is that blessings? Brother, sister, listen to this. He says in Galatians 3:14, he says, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brother, sisters, the real blessing is the Spirit. Brother, sisters, what is the real blessing? You know, as we, the Chinese people, have the Chinese New Year, we all love the word blessing. You can see the word blessing everywhere. We often say that, may God bless you. But you need to know, what do you mean when you say that? To bless someone means to dispense the Spirit to that person. If that person has the Spirit, he has the blessing. If he does not have the Spirit, he does not have the blessing. If he's filled with the Spirit, he's filled with the blessing. If he has no Spirit, he has no blessing. We need to see that the blessing is just the consummated triune God coming to man as the Spirit. B. Paul's gospel is centered on the triune God being our life in order to be one with us and to make us one with him so that we may be the body of Christ, to express Christ in a corporate way. We already touched this in Romans chapter 8. We saw the triune God desire to enter into our entire being, to be our life, so that we may become one with him and he may be one with us, that we may be constituted into the body of Christ, to express Christ in a corporate way. C. This is the banner 3. The focal point of Paul's gospel is God himself in his Trinity, becoming the process all-inclusive Spirit to be life and everything to us for our enjoyment, so that he and we may be one to express him for eternity. This is the focal point of Paul's gospel. That is, God himself in his Trinity become the process all-inclusive Spirit to be life and everything to us for enjoyment, so that he and we may be one to express him for eternity. Roman number 3. Paul's gospel, the gospel of God, is the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. At the end of the book of Romans, Romans 16:25, Paul spoke a wonderful word. Verse 25, how about we read it together? Now, to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, that is the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the ministry, a mystery which has been kept in silence in the times of the ages. Paul's gospel is concerning the proclamation of Jesus Christ. It is according to the revelation of the mystery. This mystery has been hidden throughout the ages, but in the last days, it has been shown to us. We need to proclaim this mystery. We need to unveil this mystery. Actually, this mystery has been revealed already, has been manifested already, has been shown already. It says here, according to the command of God, the eternal God. You know, to preach the gospel is the command of the eternal God, to preach the gospel to all the nations, including US, China, all the nations on the earth. What? For what? For the obedience of faith. For the obedience of faith. This is verse 26. So here it shows us that we are established according to the pure and full gospel of God. This is A. Paul's gospel is point B. Paul's gospel is the full gospel, including the teaching concerning Christ, the body, and the local churches. Brothers and sisters, what does Paul's gospel include? Christ, body, and the local churches. His gospel not only includes Christ, and not only includes the body. Today, when we preach the gospel, we should not only preach concerning Christ, we should also preach concerning the body. We should even preach concerning the churches, the local churches. This is the commission we have received. This is Paul's gospel, the gospel Paul has received. Preaching gospel will cause men to be saved. But Brother Watchman Nee said, if you see the body, that would be your second salvation. Isn't that right? Isn't that our experience? When, if you know Christ, you receive Christ, you will be saved from eternal perdition. But if you see the body, you enter into the body, you will be saved, rescued from your individualism, from yourself. You will be saved into the body of Christ. Therefore, in these last days, the Lord has given his recovery a commission. And this commission is Paul's gospel, which is not only to preach concerning Christ, to save people from perdition, but also to preach the body, to save people from their division, from their individualism, in order to produce the unique body of Christ. When this body is expressed everywhere, they will become the local churches. Point C. The gospel is the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Gospel is the proclamation, which is an official public announcement. The Lord Jesus and the apostles proclaim the gospel. Point two says the gospel is the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Point three, the proclamation of Jesus Christ is according to the revelation of the mystery. This mystery is mainly of two aspects. Number one is the mystery of God, which is Christ. And then it's the mystery of Christ, which is the church. A says, the mystery of God is Christ, who is in the believers as their life and their everything for his body. Point B, the mystery of Christ is the church as his body to express his fullness. Brother, sister, this is Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel not only preach the mystery of God, which is Christ, Paul's gospel is also to preach the mystery of Christ, which is the church. These two mysteries are the great mystery. The great mystery. The Lord's recovery is not only to preach Christ. Of course, we need to preach Christ. But we also need to preach the church. This is Paul's gospel. To an unsaved person, we need to help them to be saved, to know Christ. Concerning Christ, what do you say concerning Christ? When the Lord was on the earth, many people asking many questions. Some ask something about politics, some ask about tax, some ask about the law, all kinds of questions. Some even ask about marriage and divorce. After all the questions, the Lord said, I want to ask you one question. What do you say concerning Christ? Whose son is he? Is he the son of David? But then why David called him Lord? No one can answer him. Today, it's the same. All the worldly people, they have many questions, but we all need to bring them to this one question. Bring them to Christ. We need to ask them, what do you see concerning Christ? When people receive Christ, they are saved. And to a saved believer, we need to ask the second question concerning the church. What do you say concerning the church? This is the gospel we need to preach today. Oh, he may say, oh yeah, the church, you know, church is too complicated, too chaotic, it's all divisive, we don't care for church. We don't care for the church. Brothers, sisters, this is what we heard, what I heard. Oh, people say, oh, I just want to preach Christ, I don't care for the church. Church is too complicated, too chaotic, it's too divisive, there's nothing we can do. I say, then how about your wife? How about your wife? How about your children? Oh, wherever they want to go, they can go. They go any church they want. Brothers, sisters, if that's our situation, let me tell you, even if the whole world were to be saved, the Lord still cannot fulfill his eternal plan. his eternal purpose, because his purpose is to gain the build up church. His purpose is to gain the build up church. Yes, the church is chaotic. Yes, the church is divisive. Yes, the church is a great problem. But it is because of this, precisely because of this, there is the Lord's recovery. The Lord's recovery is to recover Christ and the church. How about in 2016? How about in this year? When we preach the gospel, let us preach this complete gospel. Let's preach Christ. Let us preach the church. Let us preach Christ as a mystery of God. And let us preach the church as a mystery of Christ. To the unbelievers, we need to bring them to Christ. To those who are saved, we need to bring them to the church. Cause them to know the church, to know the ground of the church, the foundation of the church, the building elements of the church, the materials of the church, everything about the church. They are very important. All the brothers before us, Brother Ni was raised up by the Lord to preach such a gospel. On the one hand, he preached the salvation. He preached Christ as life. On the other hand, he preached the truth concerning the church. He preached the ground of the church. He preached the body of Christ. Today, millions of Christians all love Watchman Nee concerning his writing on salvation, on life, on Christ as life. But they don't care for Brother Nee's writings on the church. They don't like that kind of church, truth. But our Brother Lee faithfully inherited from Watchman Nee. What he inherited from Watchman Nee include Christ and the church. He faithfully preached Christ and the church. Christ is for the building of the church. Today, we are in the Lord's recovery. This is the two great mysteries that we must preach. For the remainder of the time, I want to share one point. We need to also see not only how what's Paul's gospel, but how he preached the gospel, how he preached, to whom he preached, to where he preached. Let me read some verses to you so that you know how Paul is our pattern. In Romans 1:14-15, he says, whether to Greeks or to barbarians, to the wise or the fool, I am indebted to preach the gospel to you. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. Paul preached to everybody, whether the wise, to the foolish, to the Greeks, to the barbarians. He preached to everybody. He preached to everyone. So his gospel is the gospel to all the nations. He said, this is the command of the eternal God. That is to bring all the Gentiles to the obedience of faith. Brothers, sisters, among us, most of us are Chinese tonight. As Chinese, of course, we are burdened for Chinese. That is normal. That is our duty. However, we need also to have the spirit and the heart of Paul, not only preaching the gospel to the Chinese. We need to preach the gospel to the Americans, to the Spanish. 5-6 years ago, Brother Benson came to New Jersey in a Chinese-speaking perfecting training. He shared the burden of gospel to all the nations. Since that year on, every year when I preach the gospel, I not only preach the gospel to Chinese, I also preach the gospel to the Americans. In the last few years, we have coordinated with the brothers, even preaching the gospel in India. We have gained even many Indians. Brothers, sisters, the object of our gospel is all the nations. All the Gentiles. And Paul, where did Paul preach the gospel? Two, let me read another verse. In chapter 15, verse 19 to 20, he says, I have preached from Jerusalem round about to Illyrian, and there is no more place for me to preach. And I want to, in verse 24, he said he wants to go to Spain so he can preach the gospel there. Oh, Paul, in that age, when there's no convenient transportation, they have to walk, they have to ride a horse, they have to take a boat, but he preached the gospel from Jerusalem all the way to the Minor Asia, to Illyrian. Illyrian is said that it's in a southeast corner of the Mediterranean area. He preached the gospel to all these regions. He said, there's no more place for me to preach. Brothers, sisters, can you say that? In your city? Can you say that you have preached the gospel in your city so that there's no more place for you to preach? Can you say your campus, you have preached so much that there's no one else to preach. Oh, may the Lord have mercy on us. If we have nowhere else to preach, then let's go to Europe. Let's go to Asia. Let's go to Africa. Brothers and sisters, that's how Paul preached the gospel. He preached everywhere until there's no more place to preach. Brothers and sisters, we truly hope that in the Lord's recovery, we can pick up this burden of the gospel to preach everywhere until there's no more place to preach. Oh, that will be the day when the Lord come back. And how did Paul preach the gospel? Let me read some point from the life studies. Paul preached the gospel, number one, in spirit. When we preach the gospel, we need to preach in our spirit. Paul preached the gospel in the gospel of the Son of God, in spirit. He said, when we preach, we should not use gimmicks, but we should exercise our spirit. In Romans, the human spirit was mentioned 11 times. He said, we need to be burning in spirit, preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel is altogether a matter in our spirit. We need to be in our spirit. Number two, we need to pray. To preach the gospel, we need much prayer. We need to pray for the souls, pray for the gospel. We need, in the matter of preaching the gospel, prayer is more important than anything else. Without prayer, there will be no fruits, brothers and sisters. Whether a person will be saved or not, two things are necessary. Number one, there must be someone praying for that person. Maybe not one, but many. Number two, there must be someone preach the gospel to him. Therefore, in preaching the gospel, number one, we need to be in spirit, preaching the gospel. Number two, we need to pray. Number three, we need to preach zealously. We need to earnestly preach the gospel. If in the matter of gospel we are earnest, we need to exercise the three matters. Number one, in spirit. Number two, by prayer. Number three, earnestly preaching. Number one, in spirit. Number two, by prayer. Number three, preach earnestly. He said we should not use any gimmicks, any tricks. Those will not work. We need to be in spirit. We need to pray. We need to pray earnestly. If the gospel did not touch you, your gospel will not touch anybody. If you are not convinced by the gospel, no one will be convinced by you. If you never cry for the gospel, no one will cry for your gospel. We need to be those who preach the gospel earnestly. Lastly, I want to read a portion from the ministry that will help us give us some practical guides in the matter of the preaching of the gospel. This is from True Life Church, the gospel, the four great pillars in the Lord's recovery. This is from this book, chapter 10. In chapter 10, here Brother Lee says, in the Lord's recovery, there's four pillars, truth, life, church, and the gospel. Truth bring us life, life produce the church, and church is responsible for preaching the gospel. Isn't this good? Truth bring us what? Bring us life. What does life produce? Church. What is the church responsible for? Preaching the gospel. True bringing life, life produce the church, and church is responsible for preaching the gospel. In the last paragraph of last section, he shows us the practical way to preach the gospel. Number one, opening our homes for the preaching of the gospel. He says we have to encourage all the saints, no matter what their situation, to open their homes for the gospel. We even have to motivate the saints who are weak and the saints who have not been meeting for a long time to open their homes. This is a tremendous task, and it requires responsible brothers and full-timers to put in all their effort. If a church has over 100 open homes and every home preaches the gospel at least once a week, the number of people will be double in just half a year. Do you believe this? Do you want to open your home? We need to preach Paul's gospel, and the way that Paul preached gospel, number one, is to open the homes. And he says, we need to preach the gospel by opening the home. The best way to invite people to your home is to invite them for meals or to prepare the best refreshments for them. When the best refreshments get into their stomachs, their hearts will be opened. As long as the best refreshments can get into their stomachs, the Lord Jesus will gain an excellent opportunity to come into their spirits. Isn't this precious? How worthwhile and meaningful this is. He says, as long as you are willing to open your home, prepare the best refreshments, and invite your relatives and friends to come, they surely will be saved. This is the best way to preach the gospel. I hope that from now on, every saint will open your home for preaching the gospel. Are you willing? If you're willing, raise up your hands. Oh, too wonderful. We are all willing to open our homes. Thank you. He says, every saint's home should be open for the gospel, should be a gospel station for preaching the gospel once a week or at least once every 2 weeks. How about this? 2016, every one of us open our homes to preach the high and complete gospel of Paul. And number two, he's talk about preaching the gospel of the campus. He said, owing to the university of education, there are many schools in many different places. The campuses are like fish ponds, and students are like the fish. All the fish have been gathered in the fish pond, so we must go to every college, high school, and elementary school to preach the gospel. This requires some specific ones in every church to receive the burden to serve in the gospel on the campuses and seek all kinds of opportunities to go to the campuses to preach the gospel. And number three, he goes on to talk about preaching the gospel to the children. He says to preach the gospel to the children require the sisters to pick up this burden. Do you agree, sisters? He said, it is not necessary to use the meeting hall as the place for the gospel meeting. Rather, it is best to meet at the saint's home. Use the weekends to gather the children from your neighborhood and to invite the children of your relatives and friends to your home. Many times, parents are saved through their children, so do not overlook the children's work. Sisters, if you're willing to participate in the gospel to the children, say amen. And lastly, he talked about preaching the gospel to people of all levels. The fourth way is to preach the gospel to people of all levels. Most of our brothers and sisters work in different professions, trades, and circles. They may be in schools, hospitals, factories, corporations, government bureaus, private organizations. Wherever we are, we should exercise our influence by preaching the gospel to everyone whom we contact. If you are a businessman, you should preach the gospel to businessmen. If you are professors, you should preach to professors. We should preach the gospel to all professions. Brother Lee gave us these four practical ways. Number one, open your homes. Number two, preach the gospel on campuses. Number three, preach the gospel to the children. Number four, preach the gospel to all professions. He says, if we preach the gospel in these four ways simultaneously, it will not be difficult to double the number of the people in the churches in a year. If all of us will rise up to learn the truth, pursue the growth in life, live the normal church life, and preach the truth as the gospel, 1 year later, every brother and sister will be strong, and the churches will also be rich and fruitful. This will allow the Lord to have a way to go for and bring him back. Do you want the Lord to come back? Yes, we want. Then we must receive Paul's gospel and receive Paul's commission to preach Paul's gospel according to the leading in the ministry. Open our homes, go to the campus, gain the children, and gain people in all professions. May 2016 be a year of the gospel. But not to preach the low gospel, but to preach the complete, the full, the high gospel. May the Lord bless all the churches, bless all the saints. Our brother will continue. Paul's gospel is the gospel of completion. Brothers and sisters, this is a wonderful utterance. Of course, we all know that according to Colossians 1:25, Paul's commission, his ministry, is to complete the word of God. Paul's gospel is special. Here it says that his gospel was not received from men, was not taught by men. Rather, he received this gospel by the revelation of Jesus Christ, through a revelation by Jesus Christ. It is a special gospel. And this gospel is the center, is the focal point of the New Testament economy. All the revelation in the New Testament is connected, related to Paul's gospel. What is the center of Paul's gospel? It is God himself in his Trinity becoming the process and all-inclusive spirit to do what? To be our life and our everything. He not only wants to be our life, He also wants to be our everything. When we receive the Lord Jesus, He is in us as our life. But His desire is to become our everything. When you are having your dinner tonight, did you think of the Lord as your real food? When you take a drink, do you think of the Lord as your real drink? When you go to bed tonight or every night, do you think of the Lord as your real rest? He wants to be our everything, to be our enjoyment, so that we can be one with Him and He can be one with us for His eternal expression. This is truly a wonderful utterance that Paul's the focal point of his gospel. How about we sing this? This is actually banner 3. This is Roman numeral 2.C. This is the banner 3. How about we sing this point C under Roman numeral 2? The focal point of Paul's gospel is that God Himself in His Trinity became the process, all-inclusive spirit, to be life and everything to us for our enjoyment, so that He and we may be one, so that He and we may be one to express Him for eternity. May such a word becomes our reality. Paul's gospel is also according to the revelation of the mystery. And Brother Bai already told us that this mystery has two aspects. It is the mystery of God, and it's also the mystery of Christ. Mystery of God is the church, is Christ, and mystery of Christ is the church. So today, our gospel should be according to this mystery. Now, we come to Roman numeral 4. Let's read together. Matthew's gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. John's gospel is the gospel of life. Luke's gospel is the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. Mark's gospel is the gospel of service. And Paul's gospel is the gospel of completion. A says, Matthew reveals that Christ, the Son of David, came as the king to establish the kingdom of the heavens on earth. The aspect of the gospel emphasized in Matthew is the kingdom. At the beginning, Matthew said that Jesus Christ is the Son of David. He is the Son of David, the descendant of David. Our Jesus Christ is the real king. He comes to bring in the kingdom of God. So when He came out to minister, the first word He said is repent, because the kingdom of God has drawn near. And He also said, I'm here casting out demons by the Spirit of God. So God's kingdom has come to you. When the Lord was on the earth, He was the kingdom of God. He was the kingdom of God. And this is what Matthew emphasized, which is the kingdom of God. God's heart desire is to bring His kingdom to the earth, to carry out His authority on the earth. B, the gospel of John, the gospel of life, emphasizes eternal life. In this gospel, John brings us into a full realization of the divine life. In John 1, chapter 1, he says, this life is the light of man, and everyone who believes into Him may have eternal life. And in chapter 10, he says, I have come that they may have life and may have it abundantly. So this life meets a man's every need, the needs of moral men, the needs of immoral men, the needs of impotent men, the needs of the dying men, the needs of the blind men, the needs of hungry ones, the needs of the thirsty ones, even the needs of a dead one. This light meets man's every need. So when the Lord was on the earth, he was this divine life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes into me, even though he shall die, shall live. Our Lord is life. C. The aspect of the gospel emphasized in Luke is that of the forgiveness of sins. According to 24:47, repentance for forgiveness of sin should be preached in the name of Christ to all the nations. Luke has many sweet stories. Many sweet stories. There was one story about Zacchaeus. This man was very short. He heard that the Lord is coming. He climbed up. He climbed up to a tree to wait for the Lord. And so, wondrously, when the Lord came, he waited there. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. Tonight I will dwell with you. Oh. And others marveled. Don't you know this is a sinner? Why do you want to live in his house? But the Lord dwell in his house. So before the Lord, Zacchaeus says, if I have falsely gained any money from anybody, I will repay four times as much. So this is a dynamic salvation of the Lord. Once he moved in, the salvation came in. As our brother said, gospel is the Lord Jesus himself, the living person. He is the gospel. The gospel we are preaching is this living person, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one we love. So Luke emphasized the forgiveness of sins. D, Mark is the gospel of service. According to the gospel of Mark, Christ came as a slave to serve God by ministering to his redeemed people. Mark 10:45, we are familiar with this. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. As I read this, I'm very touched. Lord, you can, and to serve us by giving your life to us. What a service. He gave his life to serve us. He was our slave savior. He is our pattern. So Mark emphasized the matter of service. And E, let's read together. Paul became a minister according to the stewardship of God to complete the word of God. Hence, Paul's gospel is the gospel of completion. Our brother has already shared that among the 27 books of the New Testament, 14 epistles were written by Paul. Think about this. If you take away these 14 epistles from the New Testament, what will happen? It will be as if you take away someone's heart. That person will be without a heart. Paul's ministry is a completing ministry. The gospel he preached is a gospel of completion. Today in the Lord's Recovery, the gospel we have is the gospel of completion. It is a complete gospel. And then he goes on to tell us, Paul's gospel includes all the aspects of the four gospels, the kingdom, light, forgiveness, and service. However, in his epistle, Paul covers much more, for many important aspects of the gospel are found only in the writings of Paul. Let me draw a diagram for you. That represents Paul's gospel of completion. That is like a hub of a wheel. The hub of a wheel. And the various aspects of this gospel, kingdom, is like the spokes. Life, forgiveness, of sins, service, Christ as the life-giving spirit, the body of Christ, many, many points. All of these aspects can be likened to the spokes of a wheel, the spokes of a wheel. Now you have the rings. The rings. This is the completing ministry. You must have these, all these elements and aspects in order for the wheels to run. If you take away the hub, everything will collapse. Paul's completing ministry is exceedingly great. Without Paul's gospel of completion, God's economy cannot be fulfilled, cannot be accomplished. We must be deeply impressed with this. Paul's gospel of completion is the hub, the center of God's revelation in his New Testament. So that is why Paul said that he suffered for the gospel. Brother Lee said to suffer for the gospel means that he shared in the completion of God's eternal economy. Paul's preaching of gospel is not just to bring someone to be saved, to receive the forgiveness of sins, oh, so that you can go to heaven. No, that is not Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel includes too many things, too much. Let's take a look. One, on the F. Paul's gospel speaks of Christ being five matters to us. A, our brothers already touched this. Christ is in us as the hope of glory. Oh, this mystery. Oh, how great is this, the riches of glory of this mystery, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Oh, today he is in us as a mystery among the Gentiles, but he is working us every day. He is saturating our entire being until even our body will be transfigured. So this hymn, you remember, a Chinese hymn, 764, talk about glory, glory, Christ lives in me. Christ, glory, glory, Christ is my hope. Now he is a mystery. On that day, he will be my glory. Glory, Christ is life in me. Glory, glory, what a hope is he. He's the mystery. Then the glory he will be to me. How about sisters? Glory, glory, Christ is life in me. Glory, glory, what a hope is he. In my spirit, he is life to me. Then the glory he will be to me. Okay. B says, Christ lives in us. Galatians 2:20, we are familiar with this. I'm crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. Brothers and sisters, you need to know that here Paul is not talking about an exchange life. He's not talking about that Christ's life come in and your life go out. No, he's not talking about that. He is saying, it's no longer I, but then he said, I now live. Although it's no longer I still live. What is this? It is not the old I anymore. The old I without God. But it is the new I now with Christ in it. Now it's living. So today Christ is living in us and we are living with him together. And our living, the way we live is to live in faith. In the faith of the Son of God. This morning, our brother James told us that faith is a substantiation of God's salvation. In order to live a Christian life, we must have faith. Faith is not our faith. This faith is the faith of the Son of God. So today we live in this way, in the faith of the Son of God. This is how we live together with Him. We have one life, one living. C. Christ is being formed in us. This is Galatians 4:19. My children, with whom I travail again in birth until Christ is formed in you. Oh, what a travail. We brothers do not understand this. Last week, my little younger daughter, gave birth to a baby. Oh, that was truly a travail, not easy. The footnotes here says it is the birth pain, the pain in childbearing. In English, it's called a labor. It's a real labor. What a travail, a pain. So brothers and sisters, many times when we take care of new ones, we need to bear the same travail. Yes, you brought someone to salvation. Yes, I have brought some to salvation. But they love the Lord, they testify, they prophesy. Then we have morning revival every day. One day, all of a sudden, he texts me, "Do not call me again anymore. I have no more time." My heart hurt so much. Oh, such a good young man. It's gone. Should I give him up? Brothers, sisters, we need to learn to travail until Christ is formed in all the saints. We need to have this heart of the mother, that hope, that expecting the child to grow up. Point D, Christ is making his home in us. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith. This making home, the Greek is katakeo. Kata means to downward, going down, downward. Ikeo means house. So in other words, God wants to build his house deep down into our being, deep down in our heart. You know, there's in the Amplified version of the Bible, it says that this means Christ wants to build his permanent residence in our hearts. You know, when you fill any kind of form, often there's a column for permanent residence. That means your permanent dwelling place, permanent address. But Christ wants to make our heart his permanent dwelling place. Brothers, sisters, Christ, it's not easy for Christ to make his home in our heart. We are living persons. We have our own thoughts, our loves, our choices. But brothers, sisters, Christ wants to make his home in your hearts. Your thoughts need to be renewed. Your emotion need to be adjusted. Your will need to be subdued. Many times when we go through things, go through situations, we just will not turn our mind. We just will not turn our concepts. If that's the way, then Christ cannot make his home in our heart. How about our emotion? Sometimes we are not happy. We are sorrowful. And we like to remain there. In that way, Christ cannot come into our emotion. But when you are sad, if you say, "Lord Jesus, you are my real joy," if you say that, Christ will make his home a little more in your heart. When you feel lonely, you say, "Lord Jesus, you are my true companion. You are my best friend." When you feel lonely, when you're praying that way, Christ will make his home in your hearts. Brothers and sisters, we need to allow Christ to make his home in our heart. In our heart, there are many, many complicated chambers and rooms. We need to let him make his home in all the rooms in our heart. That's why we need to pray that he will strengthen us into our power, into our spirit, so that he can make his home in our hearts. So we need to pray that prayer every day. Ephesians 3:16. Oh, Father, according to the riches of your glory, through your Spirit, by your power, strengthen us into our inner man, that Christ may make his home in our hearts through faith. We must pray this prayer every day. Oh Lord, make your home in my heart more each day, more each day. Not by our feelings, but by faith. By faith, Christ will make his home more and more in your home, more and more in your heart. You will become more and more stable, established in the church. You will be established. So brothers, sisters, we need to allow Christ to make his home in our heart every day. When we allow him to make home in our heart, we can be rooted and grounded in love and will be full of strength to apprehend the length, breadth, height, and depth of Christ. And we will be able to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ. Then we will be filled with the fullness of God, unto the fullness of God. Brothers, sisters, the church is the fullness of Christ. He is the one who fills all in all. That's why we need to be filled with Christ every day, unto the fullness of Christ. We have too many complicated things in us. We need to be unloaded every day, empty out every day. Many times we do not want to cooperate with him. Then he will raise up an environment to turn us back to him, so that we'll repent to him, we will empty before him, that he may fill us once again. Eventually, the church will become the fullness of Christ. All these points, can you find them in the Gospels? No. You can only find them in Paul's writings. That's why Paul's Gospel is special. Point A, Christ. Point two, sorry. Paul's Gospel concerns Christ as the Spirit living within the believer after his resurrection. Romans 8:9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, yet if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of him. But if Christ," this is verse 10, Romans chapter 8, "Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Here it talks about God's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, and Christ. Actually, these three are one. So this Christ today is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit. So in Paul's Gospel, he talks about Christ as the Spirit. A, Christ has resurrected and has become the life-giving Spirit indwelling the believers. 1 Corinthians 15:45b, our brothers have already led us to memorize. The last Adam became a life-giving Spirit. This Spirit now is in our spirit, renewing, transforming us every day. Point B, Paul's Gospel is the Gospel of, how about, let's read this together. Paul's Gospel is the Gospel of the one who is now indwelling his believers as their subjective Savior. Our Savior is the subjective Savior. Our Gospel is the Gospel of a subjective Savior, not a Savior far away in heaven, but a Savior subjectively dwelling in us. This morning, our brother Chao said, I really enjoyed what he shared. What is grace? He shared. Grace is that when you are just about to argue with your wife, the Lord say, "That's enough. It's enough. Stop it. Stop it." Remember that? Remember our brother shared that? That is grace. That is the subjective Savior. If you say amen, you will be saved. So Brother Lee often told us that when you are about to lose your temper, you need to say, "Lord, lose temper with me. Lose your temper with me." If you are willing to pray like this, talk to the Lord about this, your temper will be gone. Brothers, sisters, when husband and wife come together, of course it's inevitable that they will have arguments. But do not fight for yourself. How about you go to the Lord and say, "Lord, why does he or she say that? Lord, I feel it's unfair. Oh, Lord Jesus." Just tell the Lord, Let me tell you, all your temper will be gone. All your anger will be gone. All the hurt feelings will be gone. Brothers, sisters, we need to experience the subjective Savior. Today He lives in us. And point C, let's read point three. From Paul's Gospel, we learn that the Spirit of Christ is a seal and pledge. He is a seal. When we are saved, we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I brought a seal to show you. This is a seal. When we believe in the Lord, as soon as we believe, look at this. This is a seal. See that? You see that? There is a seal. I heard there was a gospel forum this afternoon, and 15 gospel friends, they all pray and call on the Lord. You know, when you call on the Lord, there is a seal on you. There is a seal. What is that seal? Number one, it means that you belong to Christ. What does that seal say? It says my name. So this paper is mine. My book also have this seal. Number two, this seal, the elements of the ink also have been sealed into the paper. So when we receive the seal, God's elements also has been wrought into us. And these elements, this seal is not a one-time event. It's not just one seal. Every time you come to a meeting, there's more seals. More seals. When you call on the Lord, there's more seals. You say, Lord Jesus, I love you. More seals. You say, oh, if you fail, you have a failure, you turn back to the Lord, you say, the Lord give you more seals. Ephesians 4:30 says, you were sealed in Him until the day of redemption. So he says, it means that this seal is unto the day of redemption. That means that this seal is for the day of redemption. It's to seal us continuously until the day of the redemption of our body. We need to allow Him to seal us continually until His ink saturates our entire being, saturates our body, and that is the day of our redemption. Hallelujah. And this seal is also a pledge, which is a foretaste. It's our foretaste of God. Point four, Paul's gospel concerns Christ as the head and the church as the body. Colossians 1:18 says, He is the head of the body, the church. And the church is His body. So Paul's gospel concerns Christ as the head and the church as the body. And point five, the gospel Paul preached includes the whole book of Romans. This book reveals the complete gospel, beginning with forgiveness of sins, passing through sanctification, transformation, and the constitution of the body of Christ, eventually arriving at the living the church life in the churches. Our brother Bai had shared this very in a thorough way. In here, it is also from the same book that Brother Bai shared, True Life, Church, and Gospel, the four great pillars in the Lord's recovery. Here, Bali said, we must see that if what we preach is merely about escaping perdition and going to heaven, then we are preaching the poorest gospel. We must preach the gospel in a way that allows people to clearly see that once they believe in the Lord, their sins will be forgiven and they will be redeemed and justified by God, reconciled to God, and accepted by God. They should also see that at the same time, they will be regenerated in their spirit, have God's life and nature, and have God's dwelling in their spirit to renew them day by day and transform them moment by moment. This is so that they may be conformed to the image of His Son and eventually reach the maturity in life and be fully glorified as the sons of God. Furthermore, they should see that although they are sinners, they will become sons of God. At the same time, they are members of Christ, coordinating together to constitute the body of Christ, which is a testimony, the riches, and the expression of Christ expressed practically on the earth as the local churches. This is the gospel in Romans. So, brothers and sisters, the gospel we preach today should be this gospel of completion. Romans 5, together. Paul's gospel is the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. Oh, what a wonderful utterance. 1 Timothy 1:11 says, the gospel of the glory, he says, according to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I was entrusted. A says, the gospel of the glory of the blessed God is an excellent expression. It refers to God's economy in verse 4. So it shows us that the gospel of God is the economy of God. B, the gospel with which the Apostle Paul was entrusted is the effulgence of the glory of the blessed God. It is the effulgence of the glory manifested in the face of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, in our daily life, when we join ourselves to Christ, there will be an effulgence shining out of us to our neighbors, on our campus, at our workplace, among our relatives. People will see a kind of effulgence of the glory of, that is the effulgence of the glory of the blessed God. That's why it says, by dispensing God's life and nature in Christ into God's chosen people, this gospel shines forth God's glory, in which God is blessed among his people. So when we all have God's life and nature, and when this life and nature have been wrought into us, there will be a spontaneous manifestation. That manifestation will be the effulgence, the shining of God's glory. You know, after this weekend, when you go back to work on Monday, people will see something different with you. I believe we can all testify this. When we are at our workplace, when you are at the workplace, at your job, when people see you, they will say, hey, this guy is different. This guy is happy. He is tender. He is gentle. I cannot explain it. He's special. Brothers and sisters, this should be what we are. We should have this effulgence of the glory. That effulgence is the preaching of the gospel. This is the commission. One says, this is the commission, the ministry the apostle received the Lord. And two, together, this gospel should be commonly taught and preached in a local church. This gospel should be commonly taught and preached in a local church. We should preach, teach mutually, teach each other. We should also preach this gospel together. Our brother has led us to read that portion, the ministry, that truth bring us life, light produce the church. And what is the church for? Church is responsible for preaching the gospel. In that same message, Brother Lee said, the unique commission of the church is to preach the gospel. Have you heard that? The unique commission of the church is to preach the gospel. But the gospel we are preaching is not the low, superficial gospel, but the glorious, the high gospel. Brothers and sisters, we all should be gospel preachers. We all should preach the gospel. Actually, to preach the gospel is not hard, but we need to exercise. We need to practice. Recently in the church in Anaheim, I can testify that among the brothers, the serving brothers, we have the burden to bring all the saints into the burden of the gospel. So we bring out many gospel tracts in all the languages, Korean, Chinese, Spanish, English, and then so that all the saints can take them. And we encourage the saints, we say every day, give out one gospel tract. You cannot say that you did not meet anybody in any given day, right? Wherever you go to McDonald's, you will meet people. You go to In-N-Out Burger, you will meet people. If you dare not speak to them, you just put it on the table. That counts as well. Don't laugh at this, but have you heard story of Brother M. Mark? How was Brother M. Mark saved? He was saved in a laundry room. He saw a gospel tract on the floor and he picked it up and he was saved. Have you heard his testimony? He was in a laundry man. He was single. He was a bachelor. He was washing his clothes. He was putting the coins into the machine and he was waiting for his clothes. And then he saw a gospel tract on the floor. And he picked it up. And he got saved. Wow, and what a wonderful brother we have today in the recovery. A gift given to his churches. So you never know what kind of people you gain by giving out the gospel tract. Also, recently, the church in Anaheim also practiced preaching the gospel every week. Every Lord's Day after the love feast lunch, we will go out to preach the gospel. All five districts in the church Anaheim, we all have been practicing this. After the lunch on the Lord's Day, we all went out to preach the gospel. And when the full-time trainees are with us, they will join us. This has become our habit, our custom. And every year, we still have the two in-reaping gospel meeting, and we also have the gospel barbecues. Brother, sister, gospel need our labor. Gospel need us to labor, to practice. If we do not preach the gospel, that's what we're indebted. We owe people the gospel. Brothers, sisters, we need to have that feeling. If we do not preach the gospel, woe to us. Woe to us. Today, this commission has been given to us to preach the high gospel, to preach Paul's gospel, to preach the gospel of the completion. Oh, Lord Jesus. We need to contact people every day. Preach the gospel every week and bear fruits every month and increase every year. I just wrote down that. Last month in the Southern California, the Responsible Brothers meeting, we decided that every month we need to preach the gospel. Five districts in Anaheim, we need to preach gospel every month and every week we go out. And we will bring the new ones. So every month we will have a gospel meeting. We will preach the gospel every month. May the Lord give us new fruits every month. December last year, we had an in-reaping meeting. We asked the Lord for 50 new ones, remaining fruits. The Lord gave us 51. So brothers, sisters, we really need to cooperate with the Lord in the gospel. Brother Lee said, the outlet of the gods, the mouthpiece of gospel is man, and the outlet of gospel is the home. When Brother Lee went to Taiwan, within 6 years, 500 cents was increased to 20,000 in the 1950s. We heard that they print out as many gospel tracts as there are people in Taipei. Pasted that gospel tracts, a gospel poster everywhere. Oh, brother, sister, we need to rise up to preach the gospel. We need to give ourselves, open our hearts to preach the gospel. May the Lord bless the churches in his recovery, that this year we will all rise up to preach the gospel. Not to preach the low gospel, but to preach Paul's complete gospel, to bring people into his recovery, bring people into his body, so that he may gain the testimony, the build up body he need, that he may come back quickly. This is our commission, the commission of the Lord's recovery. We need to endeavor to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the whole inhabited earth, to hasten his return. Hallelujah.